Hey, hey.
Hello. What?
What?
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, where we talk about all sorts of nonsense.
Including, but not limited to, Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, well, politics and religion and other nonsense.
Agenda 31.
Agenda 31. Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite podcasts right now. Though I'm going to have to invest in order to get the deeper knowledge, and I'm not sure how much I need to invest.
You need to invest?
To invest, to give him some money.
I'll take some money.
Yeah, but you're not making a common law ID the way he is.
Oh. The way he is.
Not the way he is. Well, you might be, but I won't know that. I might be, but I won't know that until I invest in his project and get a copy of what he's done.
Speaking of investing in projects, I just became a supporter for Mysteria Legacy.
Oh no! But it's not GPS based.
It don't matter. It's a medieval MMO game. So, and now I'm the leader of the hemp tribe. And I've got Drafter as my co-leader, and he was like one of the founders of Hemptoria.
Right.
And him and Sly Fox were the founders. And then I don't know about Anastasia, but she came in. Sly Fox and Drafter, they're not really like, oh, I want to be the leader type of people.
Right.
So she assumed the role of leadership, and she got us in trouble. And pissed off the most powerful tribe in the kingdom.
Here's our territory, you stay away.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, basically, and she got disbarred, if you will.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah,
well,
she's no longer
hiring a lawyer.
Well, you know what I mean. I don't know what the right terminology is, but she basically had to go into hiding.
Yeah, you she got abdicated from the throne, basically.
She ended up getting kicked from the tribe, yeah. Sly Fox left the tribe. Drafter ended up kicking her out of the tribe and ended up making me the leader.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, I originally, when he originally asked me if I wanted to be the leader, I was like, not really. He's like, me neither.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Well, it is. But then the most powerful tribe in the kingdom, they pretty much KOS'd all of us. For Anastasia's screw up.
What particularly evil thing did she do?
Well, I'll explain that in a second.
All right.
So I assumed leadership in order to restore peace and harmony. What did she do? She dug up Silk Road and built our castle on it.
Oh. Oh.
Right?
Yeah. And probably tried to charge a toll.
No. She basically blocked it. She basically blocked it off. You had to go around our castle in order to continue.
Right. She basically jumped on a major trade route.
Basically, yeah. Or it wasn't necessarily a trade route yet, but it was a main road. And
right.
The most powerful tribe in the kingdom maintains the main roads. And the 250 road going east and west is a major trade road. But going north and south is not so much. But still, people build on it. Right next to it. It's a major route.
Why would you build right on something that's established like that?
To piss on somebody's Wheaties, I guess?
That was her goal, to piss somebody off?
I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know what her goal was. But she knew better. I knew better. I hadn't been playing as long as she had.
Wow. If I knew her in real life, based on that, I would try to avoid her.
Yeah, she basically got kicked out of the tribe. So, and that's the only reason why I sided with the so-called enemy. Bar is technically the enemy, because yeah, they are the most powerful kingdom or tribe in the kingdom, but they're bullies,
right?
And so they're the bad guys, and so we consider them the enemy, but we're not strong enough to take on the enemy,
right?
We had like 24 members. Now we only have a dozen. No, we had more than 24. We had like 3 or 4 members in our tribe.
So
we were growing.
When you become strong enough to take on the enemy, what's your solution? You go beat them up and kick them off the game?
No. But what I'm trying to say is...
be bullies.
What I'm trying to say is, you know, if you... You know, don't piss in somebody's Cheerios if you can't take them on.
Well, that's just rude anyway. Even if you can take them on, don't piss in somebody's Cheerios.
Right. So, I mean, she knew better. Everybody knows that she knew better. And she, I don't know what she was thinking. She just, you know, built on a major road. Built over, dug up and built over a major road. That being said, after she did that, Polar Star, the one of the leaders in the Bar tribe, declared that now he's going to dig up everybody else's roads.
Why?
Just to be a dick. Now, I went to their defense because Anastasia dug up their road when it was wrong. And yet they turn around and do the same thing.
Right.
But they got the power. They feel like they can do whatever they want.
Right.
And I told my tribe members, you know, that they were wrong. But so was Anastasia. Yeah, they're both wrong. I don't agree with either one of them. They're both wrong.
Digging up roads is bad.
Digging up other people's roads are bad.
Is bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So now, how do you convince all the tribes to get together and gang up on the big bully whenever he digs up roads?
You don't. You just wait for it to happen.
Right.
Because it will.
It will?
Oh, yeah. Most people don't like them. We're just nice to them because they're powerful. Kind of like... Kind of like Uncle Sam.
Yeah,
But once we get enough, you know, once enough people get up, once we get enough powerful tribes to take them on, then, you know, Rome will fall. I'm not going to challenge them until that day comes.
Rome fell not so much because of outside challenges. It fell because of internal decadence.
Well, and that might be the case here. See, they had two tribes. They were playing both sides. They had Carnage and they had Bar. And they were pretending to be the Carnage was the good guys and Bar was the bad guys, if you will.
Right.
And but then it leaked out that they were the same people and Carnage fell apart. Because basically they were robbing their own people from within. They were using Carnage to recruit good guys so they can steal their stuff.
We know where you are.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are hardcore serious about this game. If they're able to run the two most powerful tribes in the kingdom at the same time, and organize it accordingly, they got way too much time on their hands.
Right, they're probably a bunch of teenagers skipping out from school.
Actually, they're adults. I found out yesterday that Bella, pretty much the queen of Bar, is married to Dr. Mysterio, and Polar Star is her boyfriend.
Okay.
They're poly, and they're adults.
Okay. Well, how do you know they're adults?
I don't exactly, but...
Because, you know, Mike, the kids going to school were frequently poly.
Well, I forgot how old Bella said she was, but she's an adult. Now, she's an adult. The other two are, I'm sure.
Right.
But, yeah. But, yeah, anyhow. So, but I've earned Bar's respect. And apparently they're not as evil as they used to be. But, they're still not the good guys.
Right. So, skunks.
Skunks. Is it a black skunk or a white skunk? I mean, not a white skunk.
How do you plan on...
I'll bring it here.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was asking you.
I'm a mind reader. I'm a mind reader. Reading David's mind all the time.
It's an open book.
We're like telepathic or telekinetic or something like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she called yesterday. I won't name her on the program, but she called yesterday and left a message. And I've been spending the better part. I called my voicemail 40 times in a row. It was tallied on there. It did not go through until this evening, just before the podcast. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to get on the podcast.
Right.
Because I wasn't able to get through on the phone. I could receive calls, but I couldn't call out. So.
That's because you suck.
That's because this is actually an AT&T phone. I'm pretty sure they told me it was Verizon when I got on it. You know. But I guess it's a good thing they fooled me, because I would have rejected them outright just because they weren't local. And I guess AT&T has expanded to this area. So.
Well.
So if the battery hadn't blown up on my Samsung Galaxy 3, I could use it now.
Oh, right.
Because I paid to get it unlocked.
There you go.
It's only 4 years later.
Only 4 years later.
Yeah, lesson learned. Go buy a $100 phone instead of paying $400 to get one unlocked.
I'm surprised that phone still works.
The Samsung Galaxy 3?
Yeah.
It does not hold a charge. It has to be plugged in for me to use it for anything. And I've been warned not to plug it in because of the way the battery is expanded. The Galaxy 4, on the other hand, I cannot find a replacement battery for it either. And without a battery, I cannot, you know, its battery's completely gone defunct. I can't even run it plugged in. So, anyway. And then the phone I got right now that I'm talking to you on, I'm pretty sure the battery needs to be replaced, but remember they told me that you can't replace the batteries in them? That
you
opening
can.
The case
you
could damage?
You have to take it to a repair shop and have them take it apart and replace it.
Well, they wouldn't really have to do much to take it apart because it's already expanded itself apart.
Well, there you go. And that's how you replace the battery.
Yeah. Yeah. I can actually see behind the screen and see the backlighting directly.
Cool.
Yeah, not really.
I think.
Anyway, I don't really have the funds to replace it at this time. I mean, I could, but then there's other projects I wouldn't be able to do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, me, oh, my.
Oh, me, oh, my. So, what kind of skunk is it? Brown, black?
I have no idea, but she said in her state they're legal. She doesn't know about our state.
Oh, yeah, it's not legal in Missouri. But Oklahoma it might be.
Yeah. So what are you going to do when Missouri says it isn't and you're... Can you visit another state with your legal skunk for the state you are a resident of?
I believe you can.
Uh-huh. Well, ferrets, California will confiscate your ferrets.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, they'll... Like hell to the no. There's a huge underground population of ferrets in the San Francisco Bay Area. And one of the things that the ferret owners point out is there are no ferrets in the wild in the San Francisco Bay Area, but there's several thousand ferrets domestic in people's homes in the area. They even sell supplies like ferret collars and ferret toys and ferret food at the local pet stores. But the people who buy it buy it on the down low.
All right. It is legal to have skunks in 17 states, Alabama, Florida, Indiana, Iowa, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming.
Yay, Wisconsin! Was Missouri in that list?
Negatory.
Negatory.
Nor
it's legal
Kansas.
In those states. It's legal in those states, but is it illegal in all of the others?
Right.
I mean, has anybody written up a law saying whether or not you can own mice in any of those states?
Well, here's the thing, though. Yeah, as long as I have the skunk, I'll have to live in Oklahoma. Or
yeah, see, my,
I'll have to find a trucking company that allows me to have a skunk on board.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
I don't see why not. It's probably dissented.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Don't know. You'll have to call her and talk to her. When you get a hold of her, please apologize to her on my behalf. Tell her I've been having trouble with my phone.
No problem.
Yeah.
Where do you know her from?
She apparently looked at her website.
Hmm. Awesome.
So. Yeah, I would forward you the. I would have forwarded you the message, but I don't know how to do that. So, I've tried and it doesn't work. So, someday you'll have to grab hold of my phone and do it yourself and see how it works. I saved the message though. So.
Well,
sometime
I can do it. I can do it because it's probably a T-Mobile feature.
Oops. This guy's got to die. It's a squash bug. Squash bugs must die.
Squash the squash bugs.
Squash the squash bugs. Yep.
So I am now the new leader of Hemptoria.
Hemptoria.
Hemptoria? And basically in this whole transition, I've like gained a lot of honor and respect amongst the kingdom from a lot of other tribes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you might actually be able to gather them all together.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that really isn't acceptable behavior. Well, you know, once they accept your judgment that road destruction is not appropriate, they've accepted your voice concerning other things. So as long as you continue down the moral road, they'll be forced more and more to listen to what you have to say and abide by it. You'll become the judge of the game.
Probably.
I can just see the programs going, what the hell? This guy is taking control of our game.
No. Because pretty much every server, there's like 8 servers now, 8, 3, 6, 9 servers now.
Right.
And there's pretty much a ruler on each one.
or one guy?
Or a tribe, you know. I call each server a kingdom. And because when you create your personal kingdom, they don't call them kingdoms, they call them tribes.
Right.
So we're tribes within a kingdom. And so Bar is on the West Coast server, and they are the most powerful tribe on the West Coast server. So they rule that kingdom, if you will.
You know, there was a game that I was playing that was similar to this a while back. But apparently they made the server area bigger. So you had, I don't know, I'd have to take a look at your game again. It was possible for you to grow up pretty big and not be noticed by the big people.
Oh, this one you can't do that.
Yeah, because it is a big enough world that you could grow up in a corner where nobody was doing anything and get big. And
this
eventually
one is,
you get noticed. What
this
now?
This one is 400 feet by 400 feet.
400 by 400 square?
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't hardly move around without running into somebody.
It's pretty big. But yeah. Yeah, there's people all over the place. And Bar pretty much tells people where they can and cannot build, tells them where they can and cannot do this and can and cannot do that. Now,
right.
On the east, see, Bar likes to raid people. Well, Bar's not a good tribe, but they like killing people. They like raiding people. They like throwing their power around. And they want to make sure that the West Coast server stays ideal for them.
Right.
Now, the East Coast server, their rulership, if you will, is more like what I would be. I would fit in good on that server.
So why don't you do it?
I don't know. I almost left a couple times. And, well, I was going to go to the Midwest server because we live in the Midwest.
Yeah, what difference does it make? It's not really geographically based.
Not really. But nonetheless, you know, you're more likely to meet people in your area that are signed up on the server in your area, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, right.
Because, you know, so, the influences you're talking about would drive people out or attract them.
Exactly.
Where they were on the planet.
So, I thought about going to, if I left the West Coast server, I would go to the Midwest server. But the East Coast server is inviting because they have a no PvP rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure what the rules are, but basically you're not supposed to raid people. You're not supposed to attack and kill people. You know, it's a peaceful server.
Right.
But that's because the most powerful players on that server are peaceful players.
Right.
And
they achieve
the West
power
Coast
in
server,
peace.
Huh?
They achieve power in peace.
Right. Where the West Coast server is the opposite.
Right.
But
so basically your choice is either move to the East Coast server or wait until the leaders of the West Coast server get bored and leave.
Or until I become powerful enough to become the leader of the kingdom.
Right. But that would require boredom on the current ruler's part. Otherwise, they will always be more powerful than you.
Perhaps.
So.
Well,
would require either boredom or
slackness.
Not slackness. They're already not light.
Another form of boredom. Say what?
Yeah, they're already not light. All right.
Yeah.
So
they seem to like their not light status.
Yes and no. It seems like it's starting to overwhelm them, especially Bella. So,
yep.
Eventually, they'll either get ran off emotionally, because nobody can really fight them. Maybe a couple players could, but nobody's strong enough to battle them.
Well, what's the structure of the clans? Is there somebody who has to subscribe in order to be the leader?
Well, you can create your own clan and be the leader.
Right.
Otherwise, for example, when I left the D&D tribe, I made the mistake of not making my Kano alt the leader before I left. So now there's
right.
no leader, and the tribe is pretty much dead.
Okay. So there's your clue.
I can't recover it. So hang on. So I left the D&D tribe to go to Bar. And I stayed there for a little while. I don't remember if I was a recruit or a member, but I was just a regular Joe there. Probably just a recruit. And then Drafter invited me over to him. Well, so I ended up joining him. And there I was a member, which is like second level status. It's not like a rookie or whatever, you know, or not. I wasn't a pawn. I was more like a knight or a farmer. But anyways, I was like medium status, if you will. The next level is elder, and then the next level is leader. Well, I never achieved eldership, if you will, until the mess happened. But I had elder status. So they told all the members that I was to be treated like an elder, even though I wasn't an elder. Then, after the shit hit the fan, Drafter went in with the leader was called Hemp Bank, and basically that was the alt that stored all the materials. It was the bank, stored all the gold, stored all the material. It controlled the tribe. Well, he went in with that alt and basically made me the leader and then instructed me to demote the current leader.
Yeah. Okay.
So now the current leader is just a member, or the previous leader is now just a member of the tribe. And so Drafter is an elder, and I'm the leader, and that's it. Everybody else is either members or recruits. And that's the structure of the tribe. I like the way that they set it up, though, where the leader was the Hemp Bank. You know, there was a fictitious entity, if you will, that was the leader.
Right.
And then they were the elders. And, of course, all three of them had access to the bank.
Right.
Now, that works if you have somebody you can trust. Well,
right.
In the D&D tribe, the only people that I was going to recruit in the D&D tribe was people that I knew in real life.
Right, and since I don't play, that kind of screwed you.
Well, you and everybody else from our previous kingdom. That being said, I would have allowed the people from our previous kingdom into the D&D tribe. But if our king and queen came to play that game, they would probably create a new tribe, and then we would probably end up joining it.
All right, that's I'm trying to log in right now, and I can't. Yeah, I was willing to implement my suggestion that I was about to make to you is identify the leader of the tribe and just have everybody attack that person until they behave. You know.
Oh, right. That's what you're saying.
Just that person. And, you know, anybody who takes up the leadership of that tribe, you know, just focus on them until the whole tribe behaves. Or they end up with the situation you just described, where there is no leader. You know.
Right. And that's basically how it's going down with Barr. A lot of people don't like Barr, so they're attacking them. You know, the leaders. They verbally attack them in chat.
There you go.
And, you know, so, yeah, they're getting overwhelmed. I mean, if these members have had their stuff raided and stolen and destroyed, they have nothing to lose.
Tell me something. If some weakling was to get into the game and just attack the same person over and over again who is like mega times more powerful than them, what ultimately would happen to the weak person?
What do you mean? What kind of an attack?
Would they get destroyed to the point where... would they get destroyed to the point where they'd no longer be able to do anything, or would they just keep coming back as the low-level character over and over again?
Keep coming back as a low-level character over and over again.
All right, so they could annoy a powerful character to death.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I
think I now know my role.
Yeah. Just don't let them know you're friends and mine. Because then they'll come after me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can create an alt like Red 13.
Like, what are you doing? I'm tearing down your wall. I'm going to kill you. Fine, go ahead. 11 seconds later, boom, what are you doing? Tearing down your wall. I'm going to kill you again. Fine, go ahead.
That's funny.
What are you doing? I'm tearing up your road. What? Who's your best friend? I'm going to go kill him. You. You're my best friend. I've read the forums, and you're enemy number one, so I'm out and after you. I am the great avenger.
They call me Superman, Batman. They call me Batman.
Do 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 Splatman. Yeah, I can't even log in. So the choice is either internet or phone, and so no internet.
not at this point. I thought that service was so much better than what you had in the past.
It is.
It don't sound like it.
Well, when I'm not actually using the phone, I got screaming fast internet.
Oh, okay.
I measured today. It was pulling in between 5 to 700 kilobits per second.
Kilobits.
Yep. Yep. So, I can stream all sorts of stuff. I'd probably do better if we had a Skype number I could call in on. Stop talking to you on the phone and use Skype in order to call in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, talking of which, I got to fire up Skype. See if my admirer is still admiring me. Nope. She hasn't talked to me for over a week now. Hello, I was been at work. That's why I did not go online. How are you? That was a week ago today.
Nice. Bella does have a little bit of a soft spot, so, and she does like me. So that's brownie points for our tribe. Good news.
Right.
I'm adjusting to my glasses and improving my vision.
You have glasses?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got three prescriptions. My vision, my old prescription was like a 2.25 or something like that.
Okay.
But my vision was a 2.0 or whatever. They've got some kind of weird calculation where they do it instead of like 2020 or 2025. They get like 1.25, 1.5, 1.75, blah, blah, blah. But both my eyes are about the same. And so my old glasses were like a 2.25. And my eyes were like a 2. So I got 3 prescriptions. 1.25, 1.5, and 1.75.
Okay.
Well, I've been wearing the 1.75, and my eyes have almost 100% adjusted to those frames or lenses. Go. I'm now, when I'm home, I'm now wearing the 1.5s, and I can see pretty much about like I was with the 1.75 when I first started wearing them.
Right.
So, and that was just a month ago.
Yeah, you'll hate me. I haven't tried it lately, but, you know, if you gave me all those glasses and let me put them on, I'd be able to adjust my eyes pretty much instantly so I could read through all of them as if it was the same.
It's all good. I mean, I probably could, too, because my eyes adjust to these 1.5s pretty quick or pretty good. But the 1.25s, when I was trying to wear those, whenever my eyes were used to a 2.25, that the 1.25s were giving me headaches. So I went back and got the other two prescriptions so that I could adjust them. I could stair-step my eyes and wouldn't give me headaches. So now I'm wearing the 1.5 around the house. And then when I leave, I put the 1.75s on for driving.
Right.
And so once my eyes adjust better to these, then I'll go get the 1.75 changed out for 1.25. And then I'll start working my way down again. Once I get to like 0.25, I can work on not having to wear glasses ever again. Or not ever, maybe. But yeah, I will have essentially corrected my vision once I get down to 0.25.
Well, what you do is you get some glasses there for the reverse subscription, as if your eyes were in the opposite direction.
Huh?
So you get some glasses for the reverse of what you need.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Basically, when you go to the eye doctor, they normally give you a prescription for a lens that's stronger than what you actually need, because they think that that's better for you. Or
right, because they figure your eyes are going to degrade over time. That's what they figure.
Right.
And because
right.
they do that, your eyes degrade over time.
Exactly. So I found an eye doctor who would give me one for a prescription weaker than what I needed. He kind of sort of disagreed with my theory, but at the same time, he agreed with my theory. He said that his brother had some health problems, and he went on, he joined this multi-level marketing company, and he got on all these herbs and changed his diet, and his vision improved.
Oh, yeah.
But then he quit his diet, and his vision went back to the way it was.
Yeah. Well, that's like my mom. She was really gung-ho into all the herbs and stuff, and then she gets married, and her husband convinces her that it's all nonsense. And when I do talk to her, she tells me that she's as healthy as ever, but it's clear from listening to her that she's not.
Well, yeah, she's in denial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we don't necessarily practice what we preach as much as we should, but...
No, it's not like I don't eat ice cream and stuff.
Chocolate? What's chocolate?
Oh, chocolate's good for you. It's the sugar and the soy lecithin and stuff like that that's the problem.
Right, and the processed milk.
Yeah. Talking of which.
The garbage.
Oh, I craved milk so badly, I went out and bought a half a gallon of milk at Woods. Oh, my gosh, it tore up my guts. My farts smelled like rancid whatever. It's
rancid
like,
whatever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, if I buy the Amish milk, the unprocessed Amish milk, and take it home, a gallon of that will last me about 3 days without refrigeration in high heat. You know, I'm in a greenhouse. You know, it gets up to 120 in here easy. And it has never turned my stomach over, has never given me stinky farts.
Stinky farts, stinky
right.
farts.
You know. But a half a gallon of store-bought, homogenized, pasteurized milk And I suffered the classic symptoms of lactose intolerance. Folks, it's not lactose intolerance. That is a false name. It's pasteurization and homogenization intolerance that you're suffering.
Pretty much. Yep, yep.
So, you know, and I certainly couldn't have, let's put it this way. I bought that milk. I only got a half a gallon because I knew they would take me about a day to go through that milk. And, you know, I bought it in the evening, drank most of it that evening, and then finished it off this morning. All right? Because I knew by the end of the day, if it sat in here all day long, it would have been curdled and no good. So, whereas raw milk doesn't go bad as quickly. So, what's their excuse for pasteurizing it again? Oh, to kill all the bacteria. Like, well, and that said, if you can't see the cows and you can't see the working conditions under which they're preparing the milk, you probably shouldn't buy it, because if they're not using clean practices in preparing your milk and in getting it out of the cow and whatever, then you should probably pasteurize it. You take it home and boil it. But then you're back to store-bought milk. So.
Store-bought milk.
Yep. You know, so there is a good reason to do what they're doing. It's because, you know, when you drink a gallon of milk, that milk has probably been mixed with a couple thousand other cows. And you don't know that some of them didn't have mastitis.
What's mastitis?
It's when the cow gets an infection in sutter. Generally makes its milk bad for you.
Ah.
You'll kill a calf and irritate the heck out of the mother because she doesn't want to give milk. Because her udders get all hard and infected and inflamed. So. Anyway.
I'm also working on a new sprues site for Mystera Legacy.
A new what site?
Sprues, social networking site.
Okay.
Well, Polar Star, one of the leaders in the Bar Kingdom. We were talking about how there's no longer a items value list on the Wikipedia.
Right.
And I had talked about making a new one. You know, revamp. I said something about it, and he goes, yeah, the people who run the East Coast server run the Wikipedia. And
so why'd they kill the value list?
Probably because they're peaceful players and bars not.
Okay.
Oh, and Barr created the value list.
So it was a hateful act from some peaceful players.
Perhaps. They were like, well, you're not peaceful, so we're not going to recognize what you do. Or something like that. You know, you're against what we believe in. So, yeah, but basically they hindered the whole server because we didn't have a price list to go off of.
Right.
Granted, it may not have been an accurate price list, but it gave somebody a ballpark.
Something better than nothing.
Right. Something to refer to, and then you can kind of make up your own price list from there. Which I did. And, yeah. But anyhow, so I was talking about revamping it and making a new one. And they encouraged me to do so. But, when I found out that the East Coast server, people on the East Coast server got rid of the deal, I said, well, I own a server. I can put it on my server. And they said, please do. So I was going to put it on the server that I have the podcasts on. But the wiki there... isn't working. The wiki that comes with the server.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm looking at U.S. West, U.S. Texas, U.S. East, London,
West.
Europe,
West.
U.S. East 2. So the very first one, West.
Yeah.
With this high population.
Yeah.
I just gave it my username and login. What the hell? Okay.
Ha! You just logged on.
Yes, I did. Where's my enemy? Oh, I'm still in the noobsville.
Yeah. You don't want to use that character to annoy them.
Why not?
One, they can connect the dots. And two, they got your phone number.
Yeah, so?
They can annoy you more.
They'd be surprised.
True.
Well, okay.
This guy's character is called Rumple Foreskin.
Ew.
I know.
Apparently I don't have full I can't attack the rats. Do I need to put a sword in my hand or something?
If you got one.
I got a stone axe. I tried putting it in my hand and I tried using it.
You may not be leveled up enough to use it.
Well, apparently not, because the when I click on character, it shows no scores behind any of my abilities. Yeah, I'm not fully logged in. I don't have enough internet access, apparently. All right. So I got to come up with another character if I'm going to be a jerk. Yeah, I can't read signs or anything, so I don't really have enough bandwidth to do anything. So what's that tick, tick, tick in the background?
I'm working on this wall. Hang on.
Yeah, I've walked off into the black. Does that mean I'm nowhere? Or does that just mean it hasn't mapped it out? I've got 8 feathers and a repair kit, and 51 wood, 2 pine cones, and a bunch of raw meat. Oh, yeah, I'm in the D&D tribe. Yeah, they'd put things together real quick.
Right.
So what is it when I walk off into the black?
It means you don't have very good signal and you have to, it's still loading.
So I just barely logged in, basically.
Yeah.
So if I walk far enough off into the black, I might end up someplace where I can't normally go.
No, it just means it's not loaded and it won't let you go there.
Well, let me go there. I just can't see nothing. I'm wandering around and I can't see anything.
Right, which means you really can't go anywhere.
Well, I seem to be doing a good job of not going anywhere then. None of these rats are moving, though. Oh, he just logged me out. There's a pill, Billy.
It says you're online.
Yeah, I just logged in. I see movement now. Oh, yeah, there we go. I successfully killed a rat. Okay, you got to stand on it to pick it up, right?
Yeah.
So how long do I have to be in Noobsville before I can go out?
Well, you can go out right now. Oh, no, you have to be at level 5 in order to leave.
Right. Okay, how do I pick things up again? I got to click pickup, don't I? You got to stand on it and click pickup.
Yeah.
Rex Raptor and Pillbilly. Whoa, somebody killed a bunch of stuff and just left it lying around.
They do that.
I'm going to pick it all up.
Yeah, in Newville, they do that a lot.
Money, money, money. Grape seeds.
There we go.
All right. So basically, how many characters can I have per email?
One. Oh, so like I was saying, I tried to create a wiki that's neutral. Because, you know, I'm not going to pick on any server. I'm going to be a fair, neutral Wikipedia for the whatever.
All right.
But I couldn't create one on my server because the wiki's not working right. So instead, I created a Mystera Legacy Spruce social network, which has its own wiki built in.
Right. Okay, I'm dead. I attacked a water sprite and my screen froze up, so I'm sure by the time I get internet again, it'll... it'll have killed me already.
It says you're sleeping now.
Well, I'm not. I'm just not able to move.
Oh, okay. Which means you got kicked out.
Right. Well, let's see now. Character. Nope. Menu. Log out. Yes. Hey, I managed to log out, I think. No, I didn't. The sprite I was attacking is still on the title page.
Sprite.
Yeah, the ice sprite, the water sprite.
Oh, yeah. I call them mud daubers.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to call them. They got a label on them.
Yeah, when you kill them, they drop mud. That's why I call them mud daubers.
Oh, my. So
so what do you call a website that was fan created rather than the site that so that it's known that it's not an official site?
It's a fan site. An F-A-N space S-I-T-E. A fan site.
Okay.
Yep, I can't log in. So, I've been reading this book, One Straw Revolution. And basically this guy developed what he calls natural farming. But he points out there's no such thing as natural farming.
Okay.
When you farm, you interrupt natural processes.
Well, yeah, natural farming would be wildcrafting.
Well, it'd be gathering. Yeah, it'd be hunter-gathering only. But he points out that, there's inputs that are required if you're going to do natural farming. That if you don't do the inputs, you're basically abandoning what you've started. If you just scatter seeds and then do nothing else, you've abandoned those plants to suffer whatever. They're not going to make it. There's other things you need to do. For instance, you might not till the field, but you would mow it to give your crop a head start, and you might sow supporting seeds. So like, every fall he sows rice in the field, but when he does that, he also sows white clover, and I forget what else he said. But he'll mow it just before he does that. And the white clover will come up right away, and it'll pretty much, grow through the winter. And then you might mow it again late winter, early spring, so that the rice has a chance to come up faster than it. So, but he farms without tilling, without fertilizer, without chemical fertilizers, without pesticides, and he talks about weeds. He says he doesn't bother to plant weeds because they do a good job of planting themselves. But he wants them. Unlike most farmers, they don't want any weeds. He wants the weeds because they're supporting plants. It's just he adjusts the support by throwing things like white clover in there. Because white clover doesn't grow very tall, and it puts nitrogen in the soil. So. But basically, from what I'm reading from his book, if I'm going to copy his methods, I have to experiment around a lot. So,
we're already doing that.
Yes. But at least reading his book, I'm getting a clue of which direction I should experiment. So. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't technically start at 9 o'clock.
Holy cow, look at all the polar bears.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
This new location is a great breeding ground for polar bears.
Cool. So what are you going to do with the polar bears?
Kill them.
For?
Meat.
Okay. Oh, my.
If they don't kill me first.
Well. I hate to cut this short. I'm pretty tired. So this is pretty much the last Saturday podcast.
The last Saturday podcast ever!
No, I'm sure there'll be others in the future, but we're changing formats to better suit our schedule.
Yeah.
So we'll have another DD&D podcast at 9 p.m. tomorrow, right after the 7 p.m. podcast of the Scrap Gov Scrap podcast, scrapgovscrap.com. And
scrapgovscrap.com.
And you can find this podcast at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. And if I can figure out how to log in properly, I'm going to start posting stuff that I'm doing concerning the farm and gardening and whatnot on David, David, and David.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. Yep, that's another squash beetle. Yay, I squashed its little head.
Squish, squash, we are squashing the bug. Na, 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 na.
Yep. All right, folks. Kano may wish to continue talking to you, but I'm going to call it a night.
Yeah, I'll finalize the podcast by talking about Dungeons & Dragons.
Woohoo. Hey, would Amish technological advancements count as a political podcast subject, or should I save that for Demented Dungeons and Dragons?
What kind of technical advancement?
That's what I'm trying to find out. See, the Amish, they kind of you know, act like they kind of froze themselves in time. But it strikes me that they must have made some advancements here, there, or other way, somewhere along the lines. So I'm seeking those out to see what they've done. I mean, they must have done something to improve the buggy or something. You know, I do
right.
know. I don't know about the Amish in particular, but the, you know, I can't remember what they're called as a collective.
The Amish Mafia.
Well, no, there's a Anabaptist. Anabaptists in general have developed a lot of information dealing with communication and relationship. All right. So that's at the very least a technology that they've developed. They may deny that it's a technology, but in truth, that is a technology. You know, learning how to get
right.
along. You know? So, that's actually pretty important. But I'm curious.
Not that important.
I'm curious what else they've developed. You know? So, you know. Have they improved the water wheel, perchance? Or, you know, they have a better method of sharpening axes or something like that. You know, I don't know. I'm just looking to see what they've done. So, you know, and what are they willing to use? Because I know, like, the community near us, they'll use air compressors. But how do they power their air compressors? You know? I'm thinking if we pump water out of the well continuously, we could use every gallon of water that comes out of the well to compress air all day long. You know? So we could have a good supply of compressed air, and it really wouldn't cost us any more than it would to pump water out of the ground. So, you know, now will that make enough for us to air condition our spaces during the summer? To maybe do refrigeration? You know, I don't know. But it'd be interesting to find out. It'd at least allow us to run pneumatic tools once in a while.
True.
Like, oh, we're out of air pressure. Time to pack it up for the day. Wait until tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I was kind of curious what kind of stuff they developed, and so I was doing a search on that. So if anybody knows, please call in and let us know. All right.
Yeah! And if anybody knows of any MMO multiplayer medieval MMO game, let us know, especially at their location rate. But they don't necessarily have to be. I mean, he's playing Mabinugi. I'm playing Mystere Legacy. They're not location-based. They're MMO.
No.
games.
No, but I'd prefer an MMO-based one. You know.
Mabinugi is MMO, right?
It is an MMO, but it's not location-based. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm tired, yeah, so I'm not saying what I mean to.
Whatever. All right, good night.
All right. Yep, good night, folks.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you in about 22 hours. No, in 20 hours. Talk to you 20 hours from now.
And 19 hours and 59 minutes to go. 19 hours and 59 minutes to go. And he hung up. Anyhow, I'm getting low on food. I need to go cook some food. What's her face? Destroyed all the fire pits up here. Let's see here. Unequip my hammer. And head to my location, my secret base. Drop off a bunch of stuff. Cook up some food. And come back and get some more. So now I'm the leader of this tribe, and so now I have to pay attention to everything everybody says because they now need me, you know, or whatever. If I'm not like interactive or anything with them, then they'll think we have no leadership and they'll quit our tribe. Chicken. I'm going to kill that chicken. Maybe I'll get a feather out of it. I don't normally kill chickens. I normally breed them. But this one is... Ooh, I got a feather. Cool, I need that. Pick that up. Oh, my hammer's broken on this guy. I got two Kano characters. Long story short, I think I already explained it a little bit. Hang on, he seems like public enemy number one. Oh. Anyway, it says Ganji. Of course, you know, our tribe is called Hemp, or Hemptoria. So we're going to attract the potheads, which is fine, I guess. I'm kind of a hippie myself. But, so one of our guys is inquiring about another guy. Wants to know the story on this guy, which I don't know. I heard he was a nice guy, but apparently maybe he ain't. But, anyway, so long story short, I ended up starting my own tribe. I started out on the West Coast server, but I meant to start out on the Midwest server. I just signed up on the West Coast one by accident. Anyhow, then I went to the seasonal server because I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, we had members from, oh, that meat dent never did cook. That's weird. Oh, well, I got a lot of meat to cook. I guess I didn't put the meat on soon enough. The game was glitching when I did it. All right. Got the wall done. That wall's about to break. I'll hammer on it for a minute before I send that guy home. So let's see here. Drop this wood. Drop this meat. Pick the wood up. Drop all the other crap I don't need. Drop. Drop. Got a lot of bones. So I started out, on the West Coast server by accident. I went to the seasonal server because for whatever I was smoking at the time, I thought the seasonal server would be great. A great international server, because you know, a lot of our tribe members or our kingdom members from the previous game were from all over the world, and so I was thinking that the seasonal server would be more neutral for all the people in our previous kingdom. Then I found out that the seasonal server, the reason they called it the seasonal server was because basically every 3 months, every season, they were going to reset it. And so I ended up leaving there because I didn't want all my work to get reset at the end of the deal. Oh, that one's equal to this one. Oh, well, I don't need a hammer anymore. I'm pretty much... I do need a hammer. Okay, I'll take that one with me. And this one here is not as good, so I'll drop it. I'll drop all this wood. I'll keep the stones because I need those. For now. Anyways, so I left the West or the seasonal server, and oh shit, scares me every time I do that. I forgot to unequip the hammer, and I'm gonna tear up my building. All right. Yeah, in this game, you got to make sure you unequip your hammer before entering or leaving your house, or you will hammer your house to pieces. And you can tear up your own house quicker than you can tear up somebody else's. So anyway, so I left the seasonal server because I realized that my stuff was going to get reset in, like, whatever, 3 months. I actually ended up playing on the seasonal server for 2 months. I started in January, but the seasonal server gave me experience. gave me some knowledge on what to do, what not to do, how to protect myself from invaders, intruders. And a seasonal server actually gave me a little bit of an advantage because it was a very hostile environment. It was a point-based server. The object... That's weird. What broke? Oh, something else broke on its own. Anyway, so the object of the game was to be the most powerful player. In order to do that, you know, and to build up all your stats. And the winner got posted on the leadership board at the end of the 3 months. So, it was basically an all-out war server. And you had to, you were always very careful about who you trusted. You were always getting raided. People were always destroying your stuff, basically hindering your ability to play the game. And you had to be, you know, on top of your game all the time. And so, I got on top of my game pretty quick. And the sheep always baas whenever you're shearing it for wool. So, oh, that one. Finish hammering this. And then I'm going to send that guy home because he's pretty much done. Don't need him anymore. I got two Kano characters. So, anyhow, forget why I created two Kano characters, but it worked out. I came back to the West Coast server, but it was only because whenever I decided I was going to go to the Midwest server, since I learned on the seasonal server what I wanted, what I needed in order to start out the game, I was going to keep my Kano character in Noobville for as long as possible. Collect feathers, collect potions, collect anything that I needed. And so I got kind of bored with that after a little while because Noobville can be a little boring. You know, not because I wasn't focusing on leveling up or anything like that. I was just focusing on collecting feathers, collecting potions, you know, things that were valuable in the game. I was collecting those things in Noobville where I was safe. Because you can't kill anybody in Noobville. The only thing you can do is punch them, and if they drop something, you can take it away from them. So that was the only problem with Noobville. But oh well. Anyway. So when I was bored with just collecting feathers and potions, because you kill turtles and then get the turtle shells, and you trade those in at the trade hub for potions. You kill chickens or roosters. They call them chickens, but they look like roosters. you kill them for meat and for feathers. I think the turtles might give you meat too, turtle meat. But, So while I was in between boredom of that, I already had my Kano character on the West Coast server, who had already graduated from Noobville. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go out here and play the game and kind of learn some ropes, you know, kind of get the feel and do some learning and whatnot, and kind of play the game a little bit instead of hanging out in Noobville. I had no intentions of staying on the West Coast server. Well, I just happened to build around the corner from Drafter. And because he was on the West Coast server, and I didn't know that. So, I got raided a couple times. I had to build up my forces. And I don't know where I was actually planning on building originally. I like 100-100. It's like 100 paces one way, 100 paces another way. The whole thing is like 400 by 400, which would be 400 by 400 would be 160,000 square paces. Hang on, I gotta let the dog out, and he's blind. Go fast. No. Yeah, he, poor dog. He's blind, so he's got to feel his way around the house, running in the walls, stuff like that. He pretty much just hangs out in the living room in front of the fan, which is his favorite place to be. But as soon as this guy's done hammering, I'm going to let the dog out. So, I ended up running into Drafter. And so then I ended up building my... Oh, there it is. I ended up building my castle next to his... Or across the street from him. And let me build some road material. Only two bricks. Or two... road material boxes, if you will. Making progress. Almost done. I probably have close to enough materials to finish this road. Anyhow, so I built across the street from Drafter, and I earned a lot of respect while I was there. I built a good base, which was almost impenetrable. There was a trick that they were doing to rob me because I didn't have my towers in the right place. But since the game did a server update, you can't do that anymore. My Kano, my second Kano character, is about to run past my first Kano character. Right now. Too bad I'm not videotaping this. That'd be funny. But anyhow, yeah, people kind of get weirded out when they see my two Kanos. Because they're like, how do you name, you know, it's like, one's spelt with a capital O, and the other one's spelt with a zero. So they look like they have the same exact spelling, but they don't. But now that I'm a supporter, my main character's name is in purple, where my other character's name is in white. So you can definitely tell the difference between them now. But yeah, if you see them in chat, their colors are different. You see their characters, they're different. And now I can change my character's clothing. I can make him look like an alien. All kinds of stuff. So, but anyhow, so while I was across the street from Drafter, mostly what I was doing was feather farming. I found out or figured out that I didn't have to worry about killing chickens. I found out how to farm chickens and farm feathers. And I figured out how to buy, sell, and trade. So at first, you know, because on the West Coast server, there's not as much killing going on. It is a brutal server, like we was talking about before. But people don't just arbitrarily kill you on the streets like they did on the seasonal server. And on a seasonal server, when you saw somebody, you ran. Because they actively were trying to kill you. It didn't matter. I mean, there wasn't a... The nice thing about the seasonal server was there was a whole lot of space in order to build stuff because not a lot of people were there. And so you had more room. You could build wherever you wanted to build. But the problem was people would come and tear it up, tear it down, and raid you and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was a very hostile server. And so when I came here, I was thinking, oh, freaked me out. I thought my stairs were destroyed. I was like, who destroyed my stairs? Speaking of which, I got to go check out my other location after I'm done here. But, all right, I'm not carrying a hammer. I'm going to go up here. Oh, shit, scared me. Really, I'm not really carrying anything to drop off. I'll just log that guy out. Yeah, so when I came here, I was scared of everybody. I was afraid I was going to get killed by everybody. But most people on this server don't actively try to kill you. But you never know. It is still somewhat hostile. And now that the seasonal server is gone, this is probably the most hostile server. Red Irish is the person who's next to me. I'm outside mining rocks. I guess this person is making charcoal. But anyhow, when you see somebody on this server, you don't know if they're nice or not. You got to feel them out, and you got to watch them, because they could come up and try to kill you, and they could leave you alone. And I think most people don't really mess with people, but there are certain people, like Fire Nerd. You got to watch out for Fire Nerd. He goes around and kills everybody. It don't matter. And there's some other people who want to be like Fire Nerd, because he's like the most powerful assassin, if you will, in the game, because that's what he does. He just goes around and kills people. He kills everybody who's not a member of his tribe. And no matter who you are, he'll either kill you or try to kill you. So, hang on a second. Turtle. That's the only thing turtles are good for now is kills. You get points for killing things. So, I was very paranoid at first when I came to this server. Hang on. So, okay, this guy came up. At first, I thought he was going to attack me. But he used to be one of our members, but he left. And after the whole mess. So he just saw me. And he came up to me, and I thought he was going to attack me, so I started to run. Hang on. Says, I helped break into the base when told members to move to old base, then recruited by Boundless. Into base when told old base. Sorry, I didn't understand that. Basically, he left during the mess. The base you are breaking down now. Okay. I broke through the stone walls. Then Boundless recruited me, so I left him. I said, oh, no problem. goes, good luck finishing this death throw, which is turn it down. So I said, I'm pretty much done with the road, almost done anyway. Just going to tear down the good stuff and take back home next. Yeah, sounds like a plan. Did you lose anything? Because some people got stolen from, and they lost some stuff in this whole deal. I cannot make any promises, but I am trying to work toward fixing things and making it right. He says, yeah, but it's stuff I don't care about. They lost some gold and a bronze hammer. Yeah, I'm in charge of public relations now. With Hemptoria, basically, I'm the new leader, but not really. I consider Drafter the leader still. But I guess it's more like a partnership. And so, Drafter is in charge of human resources, and I'm in charge of public relations. And so, everyone knows that I'm the new quote unquote leader of the tribe. But all in all, I'm more like the co-leader. the VP or whatever. I'm just public relations. So, yeah. Anyway, so I asked him if he lost anything. He goes, lost some gold and bronze hammer, but besides that, nothing really. And I said, how much gold? He said, 12. I said, I have one on me. Now, I'll see about getting you the rest. Because like I said, not a lot. Happy face. Oops. What the heck? So I dropped him one gold, and then he says, okay, thanks, man. And I said, no problem. Happy face. And then he went on his way. So, you know, we might get some of our people back. And that's my objective, is to, you know, repair the Hemptoria name, because Anastasia really messed up. I don't know if she was stealing from people or not, but everyone thinks she was stealing from people. Maybe not everyone, but a lot of people. Drafter, I think, even thinks that she was stealing. But I don't know what Drafter thinks 100%. So, I've made a good name for myself in the game. Like I said, it's just a game. But, you know, people have, I've earned people's respect. If that's not real life. But, anyway, let me see. Eat one of these potatoes. So I can pick up the fish and eat that fish. There we go. Anyway, so, rewind. So whenever I never ended up really staying on the Midwest server. I got a character in the underworld, either my Kano character or my Kano alt in the underworld. And so I have to build up my other Kano character so that I have someone to hold my stuff while I go out and do whatever I gotta do until I build my base. Because you can only hold so much stuff and then you start dropping things. And you gotta build someplace safe to park your stuff, otherwise people will steal it. So the best thing to do when you start out is have two characters. Have a main character and have an alternate character. I love their theme music too, by the way. Nonetheless, I like to put their theme music on my website that I just created. That would be freaking awesome. But, where was I? So I created my base next to Drafter, and I ended up earning a lot of respect. I had a well-fortified base. For the most part, it was not penetrable. I didn't go around pissing people off either. So they didn't want to penetrate my base. But, some people probably still did because they're just evil players. That's what evil players do. But, It was funny. When I first started building my base, first thing I did was I learned on the West Coast server that you want above ground and underground base, because if you don't, people can rope in from underneath and basically break into your place. So the first thing I did was I took my shovel and I dug a moat on the upper level of where I wanted to build my base. And I basically built it square. An odd number square. And, wow, bears just keep popping up everywhere. Okay, I'm going to kill this bear. Reset. Well, let's go here, click on the bear. Oh, don't run from me now. Come here, bear. Come to Gano. I kill you. Bam, you're dead. Have a nice day. So, wow, 6 bones. Drop those. Oh yeah, I only want to protect the outside. I'm destroying the inside. I'm destroying the inside for now. Okay, I gotta wait before I need to worry about that. I'm going to go fortify the outside so I can go clean up the inside. Then I'll start tearing up the outside. Repair kit. So I dug a moat and was mapping out where I wanted my deal to be. It was an odd number, and I made it square. And in the very center, I put a staircase. And a staircase went down to the lower level, where I also built my base equivalent to the upper level, square. So, I should have dropped my flint. I didn't really need my flint, but oh well. Oh, another bear. 2 bears. I step out. I'm going to run from this bear. I'm getting weak. Run, Kano, run! Oh, I got enough points to, increase my, it's a rock. I got enough points to increase my, pack rat status so I can carry more stuff. So I'm going to increase pack rat now. Let's see here. Backpack. I don't know what my weight limit is. Oh, here it is. Now I can carry 45,000 or 4,500 pounds or whatever their measurement is. I guess I could carry 4,000 before. I'm pretty close to, I was pretty close to the 4,000 mark. I had 3,681 units of measurement, which I don't have a lot of stuff. I have mostly meat and stone. But the stone hammer is pretty heavy. I'm not sure how many units of measurement it's worth. The repair kits are pretty heavy, and I got 4 of them. Oh, and then I got 52 of those black rocks. And I'm not sure what their units of weight are either. But anyhow, so the first thing I did was I dug them all. Second thing I did was once I built my staircase going downstairs, and it was clear, nobody was down there, nobody was doing anything down there. I mapped out the exact measurements that was upstairs, downstairs, and I planned on building my walls in the same place above as I did below. So it would have been perfectly even. Measurements upstairs, downstairs, square footage, if you will. Everything would be basically identical. And so then the third thing that I did was I built towers for protection. But I built them downstairs. Downstairs was my protection. And I basically sometimes you have to move on without certain people. If they were meant to be in your life, they'll catch up. I agree with that. One of my exes posted it. She's got a new hubby. I don't know anything about him. He seems all right, though, I guess. As long as she's happy, so it matters, right? Anyhow, go back to the game. So I built towers for protection in my basement. And, you know, basically marking my territory. And then I started building my walls around the moat, or just inside the moat. And I started building them with wood, because it takes less wood to build a wall. How many wood does it take to build a wall? Info. It takes 20 wood to build a wooden wall. It takes 30 stones and 10 clay to build a brick wall. So I start building my stuff with wood. And then when it starts to crack, I replace it with a stone brick, or, you know, the stone portion. And so that's how I started out. Well, I hadn't had my walls built yet, and this one guy dressed. He had a well, you know, he was a supporter, because the supporters can use costumes. I haven't done the costume thing yet. I'm gonna look into that. But anyways, the road is almost done. I need to collect some more rocks. We got plenty of rocks growing or whatever inside our little base here. I'm going to collect some rocks, finish the road, and then start tearing down this base. I call it the Anna base because Anastasia built it with Hemptoria material. So, if the walls are weak, I'll start tearing them down. If they're not weak, I'm not even going to bother. I'm only going for the good stuff. Things that's got gold and silver and other materials in them. So I built my moat, or dug my moat, mapped out my territory, upstairs, built a staircase going downstairs, mapped out my territory downstairs, then, stupid hornets, die hornets, then put up towers for protection, further marking my territory. Oh, this Wolverine guy, he was just outside my moat. He was reading my sign. I put up a sign also marking my territory, saying this is, you know, DD&D off-grid organic farm and retreat. I created my tribe as quickly as possible because I found out from Drafter that if you don't have a tribe, you're a target. So I created a tribe. I created a name for myself, basically. I marked my territory. Well, this guy came up and read my sign, you know, checked out my place. And I was standing there. I was working on a project or something inside my little perimeter. Well, he came inside my perimeter. So I ran downstairs into my protective layer, if you will. And so he came downstairs too and got attacked by all my towers and ran back upstairs. And I waited a minute before I came upstairs. So then I came upstairs. He was back outside of my moat. And he realized, okay, I crossed this guy's territory. So if I stay outside of his territory, he might talk to me. And I did. He did, you know. We talked for a minute. And later, I actually ended up becoming friends with the guy. But first, he was kind of scary looking because his costume was like a Wolverine costume. And like I said, I came from the seasonal server where everybody attacked and killed everybody. And so it was not a good place to be if you were a peaceful player. And so there were some peaceful players there, but not a lot. And I started to take some of them under my wing. But I don't know if, you know, they were all innocent or they weren't. Some of them could have been playing a game, you know, to get inside my borders. Once I found out the seasonal server was seasonal, I lost interest for the most part. I still hung out there for a little while to learn, experiment. But for the most part, that made me lose interest. So I went to the West Coast server to cure my boredom. And ended up building my castle there because Drafter was there. Drafter, I know Drafter from a previous game. Drafter was playing Parallel Kingdom. I didn't know him in Parallel Kingdom, but after Parallel Kingdom died, about a year later, Red Towers was born. Red Towers is a spinoff of Parallel Kingdom. We loved Parallel Kingdom. Red Towers is more like Parallel Kingdom than Mystera Legacy. But Mystera Legacy is more developed. It's got better features than Red Towers does as of now. Red Towers has the potential of being better than Mystera Legacy does. But right now there's nothing better that we can find, so we play this. Once something better comes out, we'll probably end up going to it. I would stay at Mystera Legacy, but the problem with Mystera Legacy is the decay rate. Shit decays too fast. There's secrets to making it last longer, but if you don't pay attention to it, I mean, in a week's time, your stuff's falling apart and going away. It's weak enough where somebody can break in it. And if your base shows any sign of decay for any amount of time, people will attack it because it looks abandoned. And if it's abandoned, it's free game. So do not neglect your base. People will destroy it. But anyhow, so I know Drafter from two previous games, really not so much PK, but Red Towers. And he actually is the reason I came here, because in Red Tower chat, he said something about Mystera Legacy. I went and checked it out. I liked it. I'm still here, obviously. So because of him, I'm here. So I ended up building across the street from him. He invited me to join his kingdom or his tribe, but I had friends that I wanted to come and play with me in real life. So I kind of wanted my own tribe, so I was pretty adamant about staying on my own. But I became an ally to their tribe. Well, their tribe, he was a member of Carnage. And I was talking about Carnage earlier. Carnage was owned by the same owner who owned Bar. And now, that being said, he didn't create Bar. Somebody else did. He just took it over. Now somebody else is the leader of Bar, and I don't remember who it is. They said somebody's name, and I think it's this guy, Lord Sayer. I'm not sure who the owner of Bar is now. So Bella and Polar Star are not the leaders of Bar anymore, but they still hold a powerful ranking in that tribe. But anyway, so they ran Bar and they ran Carnage under an assumed name of Core. So everybody thought Core was cool. Little did they know, they were robbing, plundering, and pillaging. They had people in the Bar tribe with alts under the Carnage tribe, and it would basically go in and rob people and whatnot. So once people figured that out, they disbanded the Carnage tribe, and the Carnage tribe fell apart. About that time, Bar wanted my basement. That was like my home. I turned the upper part into like the farm. I was farming feathers and wool. And that's pretty much it. Mostly feathers. Feathers are valuable in this game. Very valuable. Just as valuable, if not more valuable, than gold. Now, its trade value is less than gold, but higher than silver. So it's like you can get 10 feathers for 40 or 50 silver. No, wait, 8 feathers. 8 feathers are worth 1 gold or 40 silver. So, yeah, feathers are almost as valuable as gold. So, everybody wants feathers. And monetary value, feathers are not as valuable as gold, but everybody wants feathers. Everybody wants gold, too, but everybody wants feathers. So, in reality, feathers are almost more valuable than gold. So anyway, so I farm feathers. That's what I do. Because it's like farming gold. And I got pretty good at it. I got pretty good at breeding chickens. I got pretty good at farming feathers. So... that's what I did. That's pretty much all I did. I went out and mined and chopped trees for what I wanted and needed for my materials. I farmed feathers for gold. And I'd sell everything else that I didn't really want or need. I made a list of who wanted what. What their coordinates were. Their, I call them GPS coordinates, but they used a compass. So many paces left, so many or northwest, so many paces southeast, whatever. So, you know, I'd get the coordinates. I used to write down all the coordinates of who was selling what. And it changed all the time. Who was buying what? And so I didn't keep a big inventory. The only thing I kept an inventory of was gold and feathers. And I used all the materials on my base. Any chance I got to make my base stronger, and it wasn't very big. It was bigger than the base I have now, underground base that I have now. But... not by much. It was like 21 paces square. So, of course, there was 2 levels. So, 21 by 21 equals 441 square paces times 2, 882 square paces upstairs and downstairs. Where right now, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So right now my place is 13 by 13. So it's only 169 square paces, square feet, if you will. So, my base now is easy to maintain. This window that we operate in, because we got a chat bar on the left, our inventory and our action buttons on the right, and then the screen is in the middle. And it's only 13 by 13. So, that's how big I built my base this time in the underworld. And basically, I just got the walls or the perimeter. Just inside the walls, I have towers. And then I have another wall on the inside of that. And then I have a fire pit. And that's it. Nothing else. And I store all my stuff in there. I got 1,000 arrows in each tower. It's very well protected. So my old one, it was slightly bigger than that. Instead of 12, 13 paces, it was 21 paces square. And, yeah. So that was my place up until the time Barr wanted my basement. And I knew by then Barr was powerful. Barr did not play fair. Don't fuck with Barr. So I moved. I tore my place down. I moved everything to where I have my base in the underworld, 100-100 UW. And I was there for a little while. I was going to be above ground too, but somebody had already built where I wanted to build. 100-100 is approximately where I had my original base on the seasonal server. If you went to 100-100 and then took, like, I don't know, so many paces south from there, that's where I had my base. And I only built my base there because somebody else built it there. But it got destroyed, so I took it over, and then it got destroyed again while I rebuilt. And so, like I said, it was originally somebody else's, and I made it my own. And I got destroyed and attacked a couple times, but I fixed it up and made it stronger each and every time. Well, that's where I was on that server, so I was like, it was a good location. So I was like, that's where I'm going to be in this one, too. I bet you're going to sell something. It's easy to tell somebody you're at 100-100 or 237-237, you know, instead of 113-410. And actually, I made a mistake earlier. It's not 400 by 400. This server is, I think, 500 by 500. And then there's other places outside of that, but you can only build your house or your castle within those 500 squares. So 500 by 500. It's 25,000 square feet, if you will. Square paces. It's a little bigger than what I thought it was. Nonetheless. Oh. But you can't hardly build in certain areas because Barr thinks they own those areas. So they don't hardly let anybody build in those areas except them. Basically, Barr only wants you to build in the green area. You got the desert, which is down south. You have the snow, which is up north. And then you have the green area, which is in the middle. 100 paces from north to south is the white area. 100 paces from south to north is the desert. So there's 200 paces out of 500. So you have 300 paces that are green. So it's plenty of area to build in. But they think they own the desert, and they think they own the snow. So they regulate people. And because they're the most powerful tribe in the kingdom, they get away with it. For the most part. People build in the snow, but not a lot. People build even less in the desert. Because they know Barr will come and destroy it. Now this base here that Anna built, it's in the snow. And Bella said that we can keep the two halves that Anastasia built. But the problem that Anastasia made, the mistake she made, was digging up and building over Bella's road. Because Bella basically designated and created roads. She's trying to be organized, have like an organization. So, who's this guy? So basically, the center of the kingdom, 500, 500, the center would be 250, right? So they call it 250 road. She built a road going east to west and north to south, 250, all the way across, all the way up and down. And that's the main road. Well, our stupid leader, she went and dug up the main road and built our castle over it. Pissed off a lot of people, especially Bella. She's like the head honcho or one of the head honchos of Bar. She's not somebody you want to piss off. She's got a lot of power and whatnot. So, some might say that I kissed her ass because there's a lot of kiss asses in the game. And a lot of people do kiss Bella's butt, if you will. We talked about Silk Road. If you look up the history of Silk Road, you'll understand. Not the website. Apparently there's a website out there where they sell drugs. SilkRoad.com or something like that. But if you look up Silk Road, the history of Silk Road, you'll see why I sided with Bella on this subject, on this issue. You didn't fuck with Silk Road. And whenever, that's how I explained it to David Ray whenever we was talking about it. He's like, oh. Yeah, you didn't mess with Silk Road. Hammer. So anyways, I sided with Bella on that one because, like I said, you don't mess with people's roads. Otherwise, I would not have sided with her. She's not a nice player. Nonetheless. Oh, rewinding. So, Barr wanted my basement. And because I knew better than to say no, I was like, okay. I was thinking about moving anyway to 100-100, but somebody was there. I couldn't move there. That was a problem. So I basically moved to the underworld. And then I ended up joining Bar because I didn't have a base, really. I didn't really know what to do. I kind of felt lost. None of my friends were playing. The only person I really knew was Drafter. It was April 1st. A lot of weird things were happening around April Fool's Day. They were killing all the noobs. They blocked off all the roads, all the entrances to the game, except one. And they put up a bunch of towers there to kill anybody who was inexperienced. So if you were low level, You couldn't get past these towers without dying. I fortunately was just high enough level to where I could get past them without dying. And, it's kind of weird. And so, I ended up joining Bar mostly for protection. I felt safe there. I knew they weren't a good guy, but, you know, I was safe. I felt safe. Kind of joining the New World Order. But nonetheless, I joined Bar. I was trying to find myself in the game again. I didn't play that much. And then Drafter and them started their own tribe called Hymtoria. Because they were with Carnage, but then they ended up disbarring Carnage and starting their own little tribe. And now he's been inviting me to join his tribe since he found out that I was playing the game. He tried getting me to join Carnage, but I never joined. Well, after I joined Bar, because my friends never came and played, he ended up inviting me to his new tribe, Hymtoria. And so I don't remember who I talked to. It was either Bella or Polar Star. And I told him that Drafter invited me to join his tribe again, and that he was friend of mine from another game. And I said there wouldn't be any hard feelings if I left Bar and joined his tribe with her. And it was like, oh no, we're cool. And so I was like, all right. So I left Bar and went to Hymtoria. They had a little chicken farm, so I ended up practically living in the chicken farm. And that's pretty much what I did. I tried setting up a little store. My only problem with Anastasia was I would get something going. I was building up the farm, getting it set up. I was building my own little trade center on the corner of the farm so that I could sell things. And mostly I was buying gold and buying a dragon scale so that I can reinforce my towers, make them last longer, reinforce my walls so that they wouldn't get destroyed, reinforce my trade post. You know, so I was basically selling feathers and stuff so that I could put it back into the farm, the base, whatever. And but every time I would start making progress or start making headway on a project, she'd be like, oh, we're going to remodel. And I would have to tear everything down. Well, when you tear stuff down, you only get half the material back out of it. So you build a wall, a wood wall, you only get, it costs you 20 wood to build it, you only get 10 wood back when you destroy it. So that sucked. She did that to me twice. So I was a little upset about that. So after that, and I really didn't like answering to other people. I like to answer to myself. So after that, one of our tribe members had a place just south of our farm that I discovered was falling apart. So I ended up taking it over and built a little store down there, which I need to go check on it because it's been a day or so. I got my dogs down there, and I need to go check on it. Which I'll do that before I go to sleep. And the podcast is almost 3 hours long now, so I got to stop this soon. So I was minding my own business, tending to the farm, working on my new little store, rebuilding the chicken breeding section and the feather reducing section because, you know, like I said, she messed me up and I had to start all over. Then I heard, you know, heard people talking in the chat about the new base, and she was like, we're relocating the base because she didn't like living next to bar. Because we live right next door to bar, and of course they're right up underneath us too. Because they have my old basement. And they have the basement underneath basically the entire farm and our entire base. So, yeah. She's talking about the new base. We're moving to a new base. So everybody started moving stuff. And I was like, are we moving the farm too? She goes, not yet. So I didn't bother moving. I moved all my stuff out of the base and into my store. And then I was going to move the stuff from my store into my base in the underworld. And then from there, move to the new base. Well, before all that happened, the shit hit the fan. Now, Anastasia's in hiding. She got kicked out of our tribe. She's KOS. She got our tribe KOS. KOS means kill on sight. I ended up stepping up to Sly Fox abandoned us. I ended up becoming the leader in order to save face, I guess you could say. I really didn't want to be the leader. I just kind of want to do my own thing. But yeah. What I prefer people doing is build their own bases and have a section for tribe members to be able to go into, you know, and do whatever they want to allow them to do. But, and that's what I was going to do with my tribe. You know, this is my base. You guys can build your stuff over there or next door. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. But, get my repair kit out. Got to repair my hammers. Okay, so, I end up becoming the leader. So now I have to give orders and report to people and have people to report to me. We got 12 members, and, yeah, Drafter is now human resources, and then I'm public relations. So my job is to make us look good, if you will. And keep the peace. Don't fuck up like Anastasia did. And then when there's an uprising, well, I'll be a part of it. But until then, I'm keeping my tribe quiet and peaceful. We're going to do our own thing. We will defend ourselves. But I lost the DD&D tribe because I didn't make Kano, my alternate Kano, the leader. I didn't know I had to do that or didn't think about it or whatever. So I essentially lost it. But I'm working on getting it back. And if I do, that's my backup tribe. But now that I'm the leader of Hemp, I can invite my friends over to it. I was going to have DD&D as the tribe where my friends come and join. And then, if they want to, they can join Hemp later after they earn the elder's trust. But now that I'm the leader of the tribe, it don't matter. You know, they already earned my trust. So I just say, hey, come join my tribe. If I don't know them, they go through Drafter. If I do know them, I'll go ahead and add them. So There you go. So that concludes the DD&D podcast for Saturday. This is probably our last Saturday podcast because this is the last Saturday of the month. Yeah. When I go home, I'm buying a house. So that's subject for tomorrow. Our new DD&D podcast is after our Scrap Gov Scrap podcast on Sundays. Our Scrap Gov Scrap podcast is at 7 p.m., give or take, once we get out of church. Could be 6:30, could be 7, could be 7:30. It'll be around 7 o'clock. And then our DD&D podcast will start between 9 and 9:30, and it'll probably go till about midnight because that's typically what we do. All right. So DD&D is at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, and then ScrapGovScrap is at ScrapGovScrap.com. All right. Catch you later. Bye.